Blog Talk Radio.
Gather round. Witness the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit the fan. What is it? Getting deep in here.
Hello, and welcome to the Justice from A to Zayas Blog Talk Radio Show, our positive male response edition. Good evening, everyone. Welcome and thank you for listening. Tonight is the kickoff of our phenomenal weekend show. If you don't know, we usually have this show every week, every Saturday. But there's some things, some troubling things going on in the world. So as you heard the introduction, gather round, because we, as a people of the United States of America, we have to come up with a plan. We have to change some things. Something has to be done to stop this senseless killing. So we're going to kick off tonight from a place of just talking about why are our lives being taken? Why are you taking our lives? We must ask the right questions and know the truth before you can be in a place or you should be in a place of authority. So this is just a preset to Saturday's show. I am your host, Ms. Worth It, Delzora Barnett, president of Justice from A to Zayas. And I'm so excited to do this kickoff for the show that's coming on Saturday. I have another show on tomorrow night, same time, same number, same login. Gather around then too as we prepare your minds and get you ready to just think and become aware of all that we're facing. Because it hasn't happened to you or to someone close to you does not mean it's not going to happen if it's not stopped. We thank you, listeners. Please call in 516-595-8311. I'm going to kick this thing off before I take my first caller. The question I'm posing is, why are you taking our lives? Why are you murdering our black king? Why are you murdering our brown kings, our minority kings? And you say that you felt that your life was threatened. Videos are not showing us that. They're showing us that you don't respect our lives. You don't care about our lives. Because it's so easy for you to pull the trigger, not once, but continuously. You're putting bullets after bullets in our kings, taking them away from their families, their wives, their children, their sons, so we can be left here without our kings to lead us. What are you afraid of? What is it about the black and the brown skin that makes you so afraid that you have to pull the trigger, and then obsessively you are murdering our men? What is it? As one officer stated, if you fear us, then take the blue suit off, put the badge down, because we're not killing you obsessively. We're not coming after you day after day after day. And we should be afraid. So I pose the question again, why are you taking our lives? Welcome to A to Z Positive Male Response Movement Show. Caller, state your name and your profession, if you will.
Hi, my name is Darion, and I'm a college student.
Welcome to the show, Darion. We're glad to have you. And tonight, we're troubled in the United States, Darion. Our hearts are aching. We're fluttered with disgust. We're fluttered with pain and aggravation. We're fluttered because we can't wrap our minds around what's going on. So, Darion, from your perspective as a college student, as a young woman, why are they taking our males? Why are they killing our black and brown kings? Give us your perspective, Darion.
From my perspective, I feel that they are taking our lives and our kings because they don't want us to multiply. Because once we multiply and we realize exactly who we are and we realize our worth, how far we'll go, and they see what we don't see in ourselves or what our kings don't see in themselves. So they try to take them out before they can realize and multiply. So
I tell you, you are so right. I mean, you hit it on the head. As a minority people, black and brown skin, red skin, we don't understand our worth. And
right.
I'm a woman who speaks to women about knowing their worth, knowing your value. And I also speak out to young men telling them, you know, you were created to lead. You were created to be king. And you know, not just the black man or the brown man, but all men. God created all men to lead. But we have such a division. We have such a line down the middle, and it's them, the Caucasians, against us, the black and brown and red skin. And listen to me clearly, callers. I'm not talking about every white person. Because there's no every in anything. All teachers aren't bad, but there are some bad teachers. All doctors aren't bad, but there are some bad doctors. So I'm talking to the people. We're talking about the ones who are doing illegal things, who are doing what is wrong, who have a hate for minority men. And see, Darion, as I process this thing, I'm like you. If you take the head, then you're tearing up the whole. And so to me, it seems that if somewhere there is this organization and they're placed throughout the police department in the political arena, and you know, all of the officers and all of the politicians don't know exactly who they are, but I just feel like there's this organization of people who are trying to deplete us, trying to get rid of the black, the brown man, so that they can rule over the black and brown women and children. It makes me feel like they're trying to take me all the way back to enslave me, where they'll rape my daughters and my granddaughters and make my men work and beat them and harm them. So callers, we got to figure out something. We got to break this cycle because we can't take them killing our black kings. If you know anything about the Bible, if you know anything about history, you will understand that this is a plot, has always been a plot against the black, the minority people. We have another caller. Caller, state your name and your profession, and welcome to A to Z's Positive Male Response Show, where we are taking a stand, and we want to know, why are you taking our lives? Caller, state your name and your profession. We'll come back to you. Next caller, state your name and your profession.
Good afternoon. This is Chelsea Carr. I am a preschool administrator with Head Start program in the Carolinas.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Chelsea. The next caller, if you're there, can you say your name and your profession, please?
Hi, my name is Maisha Jones.
Hi, Maisha. Welcome to the show. What's your profession? Are you a student or employee?
I'm a student.
Thank you for joining us. So, Miss Maisha, what grade are you in? Are you a college student?
I'm a freshman in high school.
Freshman in high school. Maisha, tell us, what is your perspective on what has us in turmoil around the United States about our minority men being shot down and murdered?
Well, what I think is that they just want us to be put down because they don't like how we are made up, that we shine, and that we are just beautiful inside and out, and they try to make something bad of us, and they just don't like it.
Oh, listeners, I hope you hear this. We have a young freshman, and she stated so well. I mean, there is something about the minority people that is so fearful to the Caucasians. And as I said again, if you're listening, I'm not talking about all of you, but you get mad because we're talking about what's happening, then that means that you are a part of the problem. Because if you're a part of the solution, if you are a white man or a white woman, ask yourself the question, if it was happening to you, how would you feel? And if you don't want it to happen to you, if you know it's not right, if it was happening to you, then you should be standing with us, stating that there is a problem and we need a resolve. And as Maisha said, there is something unique, something precious, something anointed, something beautiful about the black man, about the brown man, about the minority man that is so fearful to them. They are afraid that when we come together, that something is going to happen and we're going to bring about a change that they don't want to happen. Miss Chelsea Carr, give us your take on why are they taking our lives? Why are they taking the lives of the minority male?
Yeah, I mean, it has really been touched on in terms of being a threat. And the thing that is so profound is that even after so many decades of just, you know, mistreatment and murder and senseless killing, you know, we are still advancing. We're still thriving. So if that infuriates them more, it's something that seems to be fuel to the fire. You know, the fact that we've done all these things to desecrate them, to break up the family structure, to, you know, just all the things they plotted, you know, use them for experimental tests, you know, so that they can get disease and other, but we still continue to flourish. So that brings a frustration. And like you touched on it, when you've been earmarked to do great things and to be great, that's not going to change no matter how much you are attacked, ridiculed, or even your life is taken.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the reason why I want every caller to give their take on this perspective is because I want you to see the cycle of what we're saying. We all see and sense the same thing that is happening. Callers, if you're listening, please call in 516-595-8311 and join us in this conversation, because we must ask the right questions and we must get to the truth. We must get to the bottom of this. And here's the thing. We're going to now jump into something a little bit on a higher level. We have to stop minorities. We have to stop making excuses. You have to stop saying, well, if they wouldn't have done this or that, maybe they wouldn't have got shot. That is no reason for them to murder these young men. that you don't have to. Okay, there was a video showing my viewers. There was a video showing a white man with a gun. They pleaded and talked to him continually, calming him down. Why can't we get that same treatment? Why is it that you can't try to talk to us, to our black males, to our brown males? Why is it that you can't use a taser? You're continually saying that you felt your life was threatened. Well, I beg to differ. As you know, as we stated before, if you feel your life is threatened, then guess what? If you're so afraid of us, then take off the suit, turn in the badge and a gun, and get another profession. Because truly, that is not the issue.
Yeah.
I'm going
really
from
not.
My gut that the issue is, as all of the callers have stated, you do not like the fact that we are rising stars. You do not like the fact that we are intelligent. We're successful, that we are people who love too, and you try to use us against each other. And listeners, yes, there is an obsessiveness of black-on-black crime, but that does not justify the black and white, the blue and white in the uniform who took an oath to serve and protect. That does not justify them literally murdering our black men, our black males, our young men. It does not justify. We should be trying to preserve life.
Yes.
Not rid ourselves of this, of life. We should be trying to rehabilitate and educate and motivate and enhance and elevate, not kill off the black society. And that's what I feel is happening. And so now let's take this thing to, what do you feel needs to be done about this? Please, callers, I know you're listening. Call in. We have to do something about this. The law, they're letting them get away with it. Politicians, they're not doing it. Something has to change. My first caller, Darion, give us your take on what do you believe needs to change? What needs to happen in order for them to hear us, in order for these police officers to stop this? Darion, can you hear me? Ms. Carr, are you there?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay. Can you give me your take on what do you think we need to do? Who do we need to reach? What has to change?
Well, I really think that we're going to have a meaningful conversation. We're going to have to sit down and have meaningful conversations, do a better job when we're looking at screening who you have on the police department, because a lot of this, like I said, stems from the fact that police officers feel threatened. You made reference earlier to the gentleman that they talked down, the Caucasian gentleman that they talked down with the gun. You know, in the large majority of these cases where they are slaughtering our black men, they don't even have weapons, and they're attempting to surrender. It's always, I thought they had, or it appeared that they had. I mean, you know, there are some cases where they actually did have a weapon, but then they're using excessive force. So it's going to take a meaningful conversation to get to the root of it, to do a better job screening, and to act upon the legal system. You know, it only works for the criminals who don't have uniforms on. You know, when you have a uniform on and you commit a crime, it's always justified or covered up. So we're going to have to have meaningful conversation, get to the root of matters, do a better job in screening, and let justice be justice for whoever is committing a crime, period, point blank.
Exactly, and that's the key, Ms. Carr. Justice has to ride from everyone. It has to be the same across the board. We cannot continue to have rules for blacks and rules for whites. We cannot continue to have rules and regulations for the minorities, and they're different for the Caucasians. You know, we had a show last week where we were talking about cannabis, And I didn't even know, Ms. Carr, that there's a difference in how they handle the youth in the high school, junior highs, who are taking the cannabis for medical reasons. And yet, sometimes, even as adults, sometimes we're not supposed to carry our medicine outside the prescription bottle, and we'll just grab two. Well, in schools, you have to have it, the nurse has to have it, or the parent has to come and administer to it. Most parents feel like, you know, my child in high school and, you know, junior high, they administer it at home. However, I'm not saying they should break the rules, but when the child does have the medication, it has been brought to my attention by an attorney, and I believe you were on this show as well, that with the Caucasian kid, when this kid brings their medicine and using it and it's caught, they call this kid parent. But when the minority, the brown skin and black skin children, red skin, are caught, they call the police. Come on. President Obama, politicians, chief of police, the mayor, the governor, the senator, pastors, look, this got to change. The rule has to be the same across the board. What works for the white man need to work for the black man, the red man, the Indian, the Cuban, the Spanish, the Mexican. It needs to work across the board, because you are not setting an example for these police officers. What is happening, as being stated, Ms. Carr, you know, people are beginning to feel like they can't trust any police. And we know that's not true. There are some great cops out there who stand for what is right, who have integrity. But here's the thing. There are these dirty cops who are out there, because if you were fearful and you murdered, then you should have some kind of conscience and turn in your badge anyway and say, you know what, I pull that trigger and I shouldn't have, and I can't do this no more. But there needs to be, they need to be handled just like anybody on the street. You need to be found guilty. You need to serve time. You shouldn't be on no paid administrative leave. Right. You need to be fired. Your badge needs to be taken, and you need to be put in prison serving time, just like you would do the black on black crime that everybody likes to keep talking about.
Right. Immediate consequence. And I mean, this is the reality. There is racism in the United States. I mean, I get so tired of, and this is what it stems from. When you look at things, even from our president, who has been disrespected more than any president in the United States, when you look at it across the board, racism is one of the things that fuels the fire. I mean, let's just be truthful across the board. When you are a minority, you're not treated the same in the United States of America, period, point blank. There are rules, there are loopholes. Let's just stay. And I think when you look at some of our four leaders that stood for civil rights and stuff, we should be judged on the content of our character. It should not be based on, you know, a preconceived notion. But these are all things that spawn this fire that continues to burn at this point and cause people to lose their life senselessly through excessive force. I mean, and our lives matter. Just so we have loved ones. Just like, if we take this skin off, underneath this skin, we have the same faculties, the brain, the same functionality, you know, and it's so frustrating. It's frustrating to deal with it, and it's frustrating when, you know, we encounter it and it's not taken seriously. It's always like, okay, you want to play the race card. But the reality is the reality, and we need to do something collectively. I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm ready to do something to make some things happen, because this has got to stop.
Exactly, Ms. Carr, and you're so right. We have to do something. They cannot expect us to continue to sit by and do nothing. I saw Dale Hughley on a video today, and, you know, the man's heart was broken. He began to cry. I saw another comedian. He was just like, you know, I have children. This, and you know what, if this is what it's going to take, I don't know if they thought after Trayvon it was over, but come on, y'all, from Trayvon to my son, to many more have happened, and now there's just this rage, and here's the thing, there's so much rage in us, we're so hurt and we're so angry, that I believe that some of it is taken out in the wrong place, causing us to have friction among each other, when really the friction that we're having is about the police. It's about police not respecting and caring about our lives. And people who are talking about all lives matter, the hell with all lives right now. Because you're not worried about our black lives. You are not being killed. Your son's going to have a problem walking up and down the street. Okay? And the truth be told, some of these black men are getting so frustrated, so angry, that they may be taking it out on yours. But you need to turn around and stand up and take a stand, because you don't want it to happen in your neighborhood, hell, and we don't want it to keep happening in our neighborhood. Our lives have mattered ever since this earth was formed, just like yours. And as you said in this car, at the end of the day, when you cut me and you cut the white girl, she bleeds the same kind of blood, the red blood that runs through my veins will run through hers. So I don't know what the problem is, except for racism. And we got to call it the way that it is, talking about it got to be race. And for you unknowledgeable people, racism can lie in any color, any ethnic group, any race. Because it was a black and a white police who killed my son. Okay? But there is racism roaming throughout the United States of America like the plague. And it has to stop. What is it going to take? Do y'all want us to pull guns and fight back against the police? That's not what we want. That's not what we need. We don't need to be at war. The people against the law. Mm-hmm. What we need is for those that are in the law to be judged right, to be judged quickly, swiftly. Something has to be done. If they kill a man, just like you saw outright, then they need, and here's the other thing. These laws got to be changed. Y'all need to stop. In the United States is the only place that I believe in my research that train their officers to shoot to kill. Like, you got to be kidding me. Every situation is not a shoot to kill situation.
Right.
And so these laws must be changed, because they were set up to harm and hurt the minority people. And I don't know what they think, Ms. Carr, if they get rid of us, what the hell they think they're going to do. And I'm so sorry. I'm just so frustrated, because I feel like I keep reliving my son's death.
Yes.
And it's just, it's so frustrating. It's so painful. And God, I trust you, and I know that you're there, and I know that you see this. But I know also that you have created us also to have a voice, to speak out, to stand for what's right. And I just, you know, I just really need us to start praying and hearing, because prayer without, look, faith without works is dead. Prayer without movement is dead. We can't just pray and then stay in the house and do nothing. We have to come together as a united force, and we have to not just talk about it, but we got to be about it. If we got to, you know, look, I don't know what it's going to take, but all I know, we got to come to a resolution, and we got to come to it soon. So I'm, Ms. Carr, I'm calling all of our people, I'm calling believers in Christ to start praying that God will give us the right direction, because we don't want to step out in the wrong way, but we got to come to a resolution immediately before we have a war in the United States of people against law enforcement, because innocent, because they, the political arena is not dealing with the issue at hand. These officers need to be held accountable for their wrongful actions. Ms. Carr, we're going to take a break. Callers, if you're listening, please call in at 516-595-8311. Young boys, young men, you have a voice. Call in. Speak out.
Gather round. Witness the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit.
hasn't stopped. It will not stop. It cannot stop until we, as an American people who believe in justice, stand for what is right, come together, go to wherever we have to go, whether it's the White House, whether it's the political arena in our area, we have to come together. In 2011, I believe it was, or 2012, before Ernest Zayas Joaquin Barnett was murdered, he and some of his fellow comrades put a video together. And this video depicts the injustice that's going on around the world. And it almost seems, Ms. Carr, as if this group of young black men and women predicted that this thing was getting ready to get worse. And so I want to just play the clip. I know you guys can't see it, but I want you just to hear it. United States of America, I hope that you heard this and understand what is going on. There was a part that said they can lead us to the water, but they can't make us drown. We have to understand that we have to take a stand, and there's purpose in us. They are afraid. There's this organization of crooked, evil people. And they're spread it all over. They're obvious in the police department because they hold a badge and a gun and they're getting away with it. As I stated before, I don't believe it's all, but I believe it's this organization, this group of people that are spread it, that really should have just joined the KKK and be cowards like they are and cover their faces with the hood. But instead, they've planted themselves in professional places. And especially in the place where you're called to serve and protect. And they are taking the lives of those who are successful, who can make a difference, who can bring about change. And that's what they're going at, because they know that if they tear up the head, they have so much confusion left in the rest of the family. But we can't be stopped, y'all. If we come together, we cannot be stopped. There's something that God, I believe, put on the inside of us, as Ms. Carr has stated, where way back yonder, we still keep pressing. And if we come together as a united force, we can really tear Satan's kingdom down. All God needs is people to come together. Obama can't do it by himself. He's one man that has to go before all these others. And you all have already seen in both of his terms how they have fought him tooth and nail, and as Ms. Carr stated, has disrespected him. He may not have done everything right, but the things that he tried to do that were right, they came at him tooth and nail with that. It's more than just Obama taking a stand. But we need our politicians across the board in our state. We need our public leaders. We need our preachers. We need our teachers. We need our mothers and fathers. we need all minority people to come together, especially the Black community. And Ms. Carr, the reason why I say that is because other minority races, they stick together and they feel like they're not a part of this problem that we're having. Because it's more us than it is them that are dying. So they feel like they're not really a part. But we have to come together. We have to bring about a change. And this change cannot just be a conversation. We've talked about it. We've marched about it. Now it's time to be about it. At the risk, it may be at the risk of you losing your life. But here's the thing. My son-in-law said it best. We good about holding down our cousin Pookie. But you got to remember all our lives matter. When Martin Luther King and them marched, they stood together. They knew that some would be hurt, some would go to prison, some may even die. But they stood for us all. In slavery, way back when, they went through hell and high water. Not just for their few children, but for the whole flock of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stop having this mentality, it's just about me and mine. Because I promise you, if you continue to think that way,
every time this happens, this affects all of us. You know, so people with that mentality are so far removed from the truth. But when you were talking, one of the things that really came to my mind is true strength in numbers. So we are going to have to come together collectively. But I believe that it's going to take us to have a conversation with the police department and have them to be accountable. You know, whatever we feel that needs to take place, if this transpires, it's going to have to be accountable. It's going to have to be a conversation, but they're going to have to be accountable to the people, because at the end of the day, all these police departments are funded by taxpayers' dollars. And if you look over and over again in our history, it's always been when we came together collectively to take a stand as one voice, and we put a demand on them in their finances where it matters. So in this particular case, we know we have to pay our taxes, but we're going to have them be accountable to the people that they serve. So if I'm paying you to serve me, I'm paying you to serve me at the magnitude of service that I want to receive. You're not serving me properly when you are degrading me and killing me and treating me different or less than. So it's going to take that conversation and for us to hold them accountable. And when they're not accountable in the manner in which we laid out and feel as if our taxpayer dollars deserve, then it's going to have to be some retribution. You're going to have to lose your job. You're going to have to go to jail. And that's just all it is to it. I mean, you know, that is going to be.
And we have to make this happen. People, if you're listening, we, Black people, and those who are with us, whatever race you are, if you stand with us, then you got to join us in this collective force where we come out and we stop this. Because you're right, in numbers, we can succeed, and we have to hold back. We got to stop putting our money into these hands that don't give a lick or a split about us.
Yes. Yes.
As Ms. Carr stated, yes, we do have to pay our taxes. But you know what? If it means that you can't go buy whatever it is you can't buy from, you know, where name brand this or name brand that, we have to stop supporting them. We have to start supporting one another. Start shopping at Black businesses. We have to stop going to the white businesses until they listen to us. We're going to have to go all the way back, y'all, because they're not hearing us. So we're going to have to go all the way back and take our Black money and keep in our Black pockets amongst our Black people.
Yeah.
And those who are in position and power, our not just our public leaders, but those entertainers and movie stars, we need you to take a stand. As D.L. Hughley was crying today, look, we need the rest of you to realize this is serious business. Your son and daughter, they're not protected. Not always. They may be covered right now, But you rest assured, as they continue to defeat us, if we don't take a stand, it's coming to your neighborhood. Your child will be pulled over and shot down. Our athletes already have an issue. You know, they throw them in jail because they're taking their money. They're quick to pull them over. So we have to. So listeners, look, yes, as Christians, we need to be prayerful. But if you check the Bible, God led them to pray, and then there was action. There was never just pray and no action. There was movement. And so, yes, as we pray, we're asking God to give us direction on how to take this, how to handle this. What is it? Because we need God to lead us. So for all the Christians who are talking about we got to pray, let's start praying. But when he start telling you, get to the front line, don't be no coward and don't show up. Because I believe that he is going to tell us. He's going to form something. And he need his people to be ready. Because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Sound mind, once
you pray, be ready to march. Be ready to fight. Be ready to sacrifice. We have a caller. State your name and your occupation. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Your name, sir?
My name is Gary. How y'all doing?
Good evening, Mr. Green. This is our board chairman for Justice from A to Z. Sir, what is your take on this issue of, I know you got you'll be hosting your show Saturday, and this is a preset before your show, you and Callie Payton, but right now we're just trying to start forming this thing together because there has to be some action taken. We can't sit back any longer. So as we ask the right questions and bring the truth out, what needs to take place?
Without giving away too much, basically people need to stop making excuses. For one, for me, that's one of the main things that get on my nerves, as far as police justifying or making, and I'm not even going to say justifying because there's no justifying it. It's an excuse. It's a cop-out. And as far as the community, they need to get on one accord. I was having a Instagram conversation earlier, and all this stuff kind of hit me at once yesterday. I looked at some stuff. A female friend of mine reposted something somebody posted up, basically saying rappers are still out here rapping about drugs and sex while, you know, people are getting killed and stuff like that. And my thing was, but you still listen to the music.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And my point was, I don't feel like that should be an excuse. Why is that even being talked about? What validation does that have? Because that's that person's job. A rapper's job is to entertain. An NBA player's job is to entertain. My mother's job is to work at her nonprofit organization, the company. So just because something happens doesn't mean this person needs to change their job. And this is what I told her, because it's all of our job to stand for what's right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the rapper's job because he raps. It's not the celebrity's job because he's on TV. It actually starts in the streets. You know what I mean? So I feel like people need to get on one accord. Stop making excuses. It's the bottom line. It's like business. We focusing on the bottom line. Why is everybody so riled up today and so riled up about things that's going on? Because police are killing black men, unarmed. And I'm going to say unarmed because if the person has a license to have the weapon, then they have the right to tell you, I'm grabbing my license for my registered gun. If the government is going to issue out license for people to carry firearms so they can protect themselves from certain situations like this, but the government don't back it. But if we all turned in our guns, then the police will be able to do whatever they want to us. The government can do whatever they want to us. You know what I mean? And And that's a subject, of course, when they talk about that, you know, the NRA and all those Caucasian people want to come talk about it then, but right now you're not going to see many of them talking about it. But my main thing is with the community, they just need to get on one page. No excuses about this person, that person. I don't want to hear the black-on-black crime thing because I don't hear no police going at these other police when they and correcting them when they do something wrong or pointing out in the community that they did something wrong. So if y'all can't police y'allself, don't worry about what a black person killed another black person for. You signed up to be a police, which means if your job is to be a police, you are supposed to be an expert at it. That means
right.
You are the best of the best. You chose this profession. You're the expert. Why can't you
exactly.
control a person who you're apprehending? Why do two men have to sit on somebody and then they think you're going to sit still? Let two men
Mr.
sit
Green.
On me. Two big men sit on me. I'm not sitting still.
And Mr. Green, you said something very important. You know, a young lady brought something up about working in mental health and how they have to, take and hold these people down. And she stated, you know, the same way we have to apprehend them and still keep them safe and out of harm and out of harm's way is the same thing that the police needs to do. They're trained. You should have other methods. There should be other ways instead of just killing a male and just a black male. We have another caller. We have actually two callers I'm bringing you on. My first caller, can you state your name and your profession?
This is Latosha. I'm a regional sales manager for a bank.
Oh, great. Thank you for calling in, Latosha. Our other caller just dropped. So, Latosha, give us, you know, your brief intake about what is going on in society right now with our males being murdered, our black males, actually.
Yes, I was posting about this recently, as recent as last night, and today, you know, it was just on my heart, on my mind. That's my way of venting because I go through Facebook, I see all the comments and the posts, and you got half of Facebook, half of your friends list saying Black Lives Matter, then another half saying All Lives Matter because one think if one is taken from the other, you know, and the other one just standing for, you know, particular events that, you know, that have been uprising, and I just had to just do a little bit of homework, and even recently I see another black person did a post that said something to the fact, she shared a post that a white male on a video, he was stating that he wished that it start at home first, as far as in the neighborhood, a black person ready to shoot another black person, or you're ready to shoot somebody if they $10 short on your money, or if they step on your shoes and blah, 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 blah. Here's my thing. Here's my take on it. When there's black-on-black crime, you can guarantee it that if the cops catch the person that did something negative, that broke the law and did something negative to another black person, justice will be served. So that's not what the Black Lives Matter fight is about. The fight is about justice not being served when it is a white person that kills a black person. That is
that's
what
exactly.
the injustice is about. So my
mm-hmm.
thing with everyone bringing up the fact that there's black-on-black crime, blah, 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 like I said in my post last night, if you look at all crimes in general for every race, majority of the crimes are done by people of their own races. So it's not just black people that have a problem with crime. Almost every murder that's committed is usually by people of their own race when you look at percentages. So that's not the problem
mm-hmm.
here. The problem here is a lot of people trying to take the focus off of Black Lives Matter. They're making it seem
that's
like
right.
all lives don't matter by you saying Black Lives Matter, or they're making it seem like black-on-black crime have anything to do with Black Lives Matter. We don't promote black-on-black crime. But we know that justice is served with black-on-black crime. So
exactly.
my thing is we need to bring more awareness to the Black Lives Matter is that justice is not being served when there's white-on-black crime versus black-on-black crime. We don't have a problem with that. That's why you don't see people out here having to march against black people for black-on-black crime because justice is easily served with no questions
right.
asked. That's a guarantee.
For a second, that is a valuable point. Let me just get these other two callers. Caller. State your name for me, caller.
My name is Courtney, and I'm a full-time student.
And Courtney, what is your – well, let me just bring this caller in first. Hold on. My next caller, can you state your name and your profession?
My name is Brad, and I'm a creative visual specialist.
Great. Welcome you all to the show. We don't have much time left, but Courtney, as a high school graduate, what is your take on this, Courtney? How do you feel, Courtney, as a young black male just graduating high school? What is going through your mind?
I feel like I'm not safe, and it's horrible feeling you're not safe in your own skin. Knowing that walking outside, doing everything everybody else could do can honestly get you killed is not a comfortable feeling. And even the fact that it was a black man, nobody should be killed or excessive force at all. Nobody should be put through that. So me and some other students at our school, we're putting a march together together for Fayetteville, and we're going to try to get some supporters and sponsors and whatnot.
Very good. I just added up some more minutes to this show because you guys are on it, and I thank y'all for calling. Courtney, I'm glad to hear what you're saying. Listeners, state that again, Courtney. Tell us where you're at so that the listeners can hear and know what you guys are doing.
Well, I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we're trying to put a walk together. Just for people in general, all lives matter, not even just black people. Everybody's life is valuable. Nobody's life should be taken away from a person with a badge and a gun just because they feel like they're privileged enough to do that.
Right. And so if you're listening, callers, Courtney's in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is a recent high school graduate, and they're trying to put a walk together because we have to bring an end to this madness. And true, Courtney, all lives matter, but right now the lives that are being taken are black males. Black men are being killed unjustly, as Ms. Latisha stated. We have to recognize, and if you are the person that's saying, well, you know, what about this life and what about black-on-black crime, you are part of the problem and not the solution, and you're not with us. You are against us. Because in this season right now, we're talking about the men who were murdered, the men who keep being murdered at the hands of those who are supposed to serve us, who's supposed to protect and serve us, who's supposed to know how to stop us instead of murdering us. Brad Taylor, thank you for joining us, sir. Please give us your take on this situation that is roaming and that have us all in an uproar.
It's a lot psychologically everyone to deal with.
What you want?
People that have already been down this road once, is too many times that continue down the same road. So it's messing with our psychological parts. This is why I joined in on the call. This is why I became a part of the organization, because I don't know how to do anything by myself. I know that as a collective, we stand a better chance. So I'm here supporting to make sure that we get this information out and raise the awareness like we've been trying to do. We talked about this a long time ago, and it's still continuing to happen. So something has to change in how we approach what we're doing to get this awareness out.
Yes. And so part of Justice from A to Z is that we are working with young men. We're trying to teach our young men about how to approach things in a positive manner. Now, while we're trying to teach our young men, we have one young man just stated he's fearful for his life to go outside. D.L. Hughley stated he's scared for his boys, for his children to go anywhere. Look, I'm just going to be real with you guys today. And I know some of you may have saw my post last night on Facebook. I have one son left and my daughter. My son was murdered unjustly. And I went on, you know, I went in the, went on so I went into Google today to pull up basically the sentencing of what they gave the two officers. And this ties into what Brad is saying as well, as it messes with your psyche. When my son died, I leaned on the cross of Jesus. And I'm still leaning on the cross of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that my flesh is so holy that I don't bend. Because every time I hear about another young black man dying, I have to relive my son being shot 13 times. I have to relive the fact that my youngest son watched his brother be murdered and then have a gun pulled in his face and could have died right there with his brother. So last night when I was told don't watch the news, I didn't really know what was going on. But when I went on social media and clicked the video, there it was. It broke me, and it took me to a place of grief that I hadn't even been. Because I didn't see the young man there. I saw Ernest Bass Joaquin Barnett there. And my psyche said, I can't take this anymore. I can't take the fact that they still get to walk around. They get administrative leave with pay. I can't take the fact that they gave Neil Welch and David Bourne a slap on the wrist. I can't take the fact that George Zimmerman still running around here playing games, acting like Kip Trayvon Martin didn't mean nothing. So I was in a pretty difficult place. But I say that because I want you guys to understand that we got to keep our psyche in check. Because if we don't, we're going to be in a war. We're going to begin to do some things that's not really going to be helpful. So just as Brad and other people of Justice from A to Z, as we're forming this platform to speak out, to pull dialect together, we want to thank all of the listeners. We want to thank all of the callers. But we want you to not stop here. We don't want you to stop and just call in. When we start talking about going to the city hall or when we start forming other things, when other people begin, look, you need to join other organizations like Amnesty Groups so that we can come together and figure out how we're going to make them listen, how we're going to make them hold these white and even a few black officers that are murdering our black males unjustly. Don't stop here. We have to take this further. We have to bond together. I don't care. I do care, but I don't care. As Latosha said, I don't want to hear your excuses. And Mr. Green said, I don't want to hear your excuses about black-on-black crime. Black-on-black crime is not somebody who swore an oath that said I was going to protect and serve. See, that's what you need to be worried about. See, they didn't swear an oath. They didn't go to school. They didn't get training. So, and as Latosha stated, when they kill each other, justice is served. So we need justice to be served to every officer who have murdered unjustly and obsessively every black man, every one of them. Listeners, stop making excuses. That's what Mr. Green said. You're making excuses because you know what? You think you're obsolete. But not. You are not. Because you have a high-paying job, you're not. I spoke with a young man who said leaving work in his suit as some top administrator in the banking system with a Caucasian co-worker in the car that he was given a ride because a car broke down. He was pulled over by two white cops. Made him sit on the corner, on the curb, and talk to him like he was trash. Oh, you got on a suit, so you think you something, nigga. That's what they told him. And trying to coerce the white girl to say that she was being held against her will. And you want to tell me that it's not about race? Listeners, some of you who posted talking about what race got to do with it, it got a whole lot to do with it. And I'm going to let you hear from some of the callers what it has to do with. It has a whole lot to do with it. No, he wasn't murdered because the white girl was standing there. And it took her making a phone call to her daddy, who was a public figure. to get them, to get him, not her, to get him out of that mess. So you want to talk about all lives matter? Well, those who are talking about all lives matter and you're not black, where is your son tonight? Is your son afraid to go outside like Courtney said? He's afraid. Courtney's mom has to escort him because she's afraid. Are you worried about your son like I'm worried about my only living son being in another state? I want to call him all day long just to make sure that he gets from point A to point B. No. Right now, I give a damn about black lives. And if you don't, you're racist, you're the problem, and you're against us. And you need to stay out of my way. Chelsea Cox, tell us how you feel about this not being a race issue.
Well, that's not even going to be a conversation that I can entertain because, I mean, it's obvious that it's a race issue. Everything about it dictates that it's a race issue. And the only people who don't feel like it's a race issue are people who don't have a clue about being a race. You know, it's always you playing a race card. I mean, no, it's evident. It's evident. And there are countless stories that we don't even know about, not just with the black men, but also black women. I mean, it's a race thing. We know it's more prevalent with black men because they're the authority figures when it comes to, you know, the male race. But it's across the board. I mean, I was listening to someone share a story about a black lady who was driving a BMW. They got pulled over and they took a car. I mean, just went through all these changes because they didn't feel like she should be able to drive this car and just made her life miserable for a week, you know, in a sane asylum, everything. So my thing is, you can't say it's a race thing. And if you have never been black, you really don't understand the conversation from a black person's or a minority perspective. You can't possibly understand. I mean, so at the end of the day, just like my son called in and he said, you know, as a parent, I have concerns. It should not be my concern for my child to go out and just be doing the basic thing just because of the color of his skin. Over and over and over again, we see these cases. You know, even when they do camera recaps where they have a bike parked on the side and a white person comes and try to take a bike loose, and you have multiple people come try to help him. The black person comes, take the bike loose, and they say, "Is it your bike?" And you start being interrogated. They call the police. I mean, it's no doubt. It's over and over again we see, and it really is. It's got to stop. It's unbelievable, and it's frustrating. And just like the other caller says, it plays on your psyche because it takes you to a place that you don't want to be because you don't feel safe in certain aspects. And I'm not going to be held hostage, but at the same time, it's extremely frustrating.
Thank you so much, Ms. Carr. Ms. LaTosha, let's get your last take on this situation, especially focusing on those who are saying it's not a race, it shouldn't be a race issue.
It is definitely a race issue. I think those that are saying that it's not a race issue are in denial. I even go to extra mile by saying that, like some of the, I hear some people saying that, well, maybe they're not aware of what's going on. Maybe they don't know. Well, guess what? It is our jobs to educate ourselves. The internet's out there. You can do your homework. You can become educated so that you can be more aware of what's going on. And then it's also your job to be a part of the solution. Because if you're not a part of the solution, then you're definitely a part of the problem. It is definitely a race issue. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure out. If a person can look at videos like that and still say that it's not a race issue, then to me that's them wanting to turn the blind eye. That's them seeing that it is an issue, but they want to pretend as if they don't see it. You know, so I have a problem with people like that, and I pray for people like that so that they can stop pretending like what's going on is not going on and be a part of the solution, because as long as you're pretending that this is not a problem, even though you can clearly see it's a problem, you know it's a problem, it's never going to go away. It's always going to be an ongoing issue until everybody stop pretending and confront it head on.
Thank you so much. Before I have my last caller's comments, let me read something to you from Amnesty International USA. Amnesty is a global movement of more than 7 million people who take injustice personally. they campaign for a world where human rights are enjoyed by all. They are funded by members and people like us. They are independent of any political ideology, economic interest, or religion. No government is beyond scrutiny. No situation is beyond hope. And they have a little information here. Basically, together we can change the world. And we've stated that across the board, that we, in numbers, we can make a difference and we need to join forces. Between 1972 and 1991, over 100 people, nearly all African-American men, was subjected to torture by Chicago police under former commander John Burge. Amnesty International worked with the survivors and Chicago-based organizations to pressure the city council and Chicago mayor to pass a historic ordinance that helped turn the page on this shameful chapter in Chicago's history. The first time in the United States that survivors of police torture have ever been given compensation, restitution, and rehabilitation as required under international law. I'm a firm believer that you can buck the system. You know, people power can move mountains, literally. And because of that, I get up every day hoping and praying that I get the opportunity to come before a camera or some people and to let them know what happened and to say, please don't let it happen again. Please stand up and demand that justice prevail in these situations. Daryl Cannon, survivor of torture by Chicago police. Now, this happened from 72 to 91, and here we are again. But we have to know that we can make a difference. We can come together and we can bring about change. And if we have to do just like they did then, if we have to come from a different perspective and do it again, then that's what we need to do. Our last caller dropped off, but callers, if you are listening, understand what we are saying. We have another caller. Great. Understand what we're saying is a problem. And if you are too naive to realize, or you will not educate yourself, you got your eyes closed because you don't want to deal with the truth, then you're a part of this problem. And when we take this stand, because we will, I feel that we're at the end of this journey where we just can't let no more go down. You are on that side with the problem. This is not good. And as long as I have a voice and I have health and strength, I am going to take a stand. Where we go from here is the question. And it is a question that we are going to answer within the next 30 days or sooner. For justice from A to Zayas, that means we're standing for justice, not just from my son, who was the Zayas with the Z, but for every child, every man, every young man. This will come to an end. Thank you for calling in. Please state your name. Carla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My name is Julia Hall, and I am the compliance officer for Justice from A to Zayas.
Welcome, Ms. Eulalia. Thank you for joining us. Give us your take on what's going on. I know you probably heard a little bit of the show. We're putting the information out there. We're breaking down these pieces just like we have to break down these barriers, and we're letting the world know that we're not standing for no more excuses. We don't want to hear all lives matter, not right now. We don't want to hear about black-on-black crime because they get served with justice. They get reprimanded. They go to prison. We're not trying to hear all that. We're here talking about those who were sworn in to protect and serve, and they are literally murdering our black men. Not all of you. And if you get hyped because you think I'm talking about all or putting you into a category, you a problem too, because you know what we're talking about. Ms.
Exactly.
Hall, please give us your take on this.
I mean, my heart is just broken. I can't bear to see this anymore. You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I just can't. And the thing is, the police that are not the ones that are doing this, they need to stand up and they need to say their wrong is wrong. They need to be a voice. They need to not just stand aside and not say anything.
And that's correct. And I would just like to say, I don't know if you all saw it, but it is on my page where we have a female officer and a female DA. Well, she was a prior DA, where they're taking a stand. The police officer, she probably, I don't know, they who knows what they're gonna try to do, but she takes a stand. If you guys haven't seen the video, please go on my page. One is, like I said, a black district attorney finally breaks the oath to tell us the truth about our justice system. And when I tell you, she breaks down and gives you exactly what's going on, pretty much what we know, but she verbalized it and speak out. And then the other one was a black police officer from, I think, originally I can't even remember, from one state, and she's somewhere else now. But she was there. She's on Tinka's Toilet Talk. But if you go on my page and scroll down, you will hear her as well. So we do have that. That's the first two I've seen, Ms. Hall. So maybe some other ones might start taking a stand. But you are so right, because that is a problem. The ones who, this may not be you, but if you just turning your head and not speaking out, then how are you helping us, Ms. Carr? I'm sorry, Ms. Hall.
I mean, you're not. Because when I was growing up, when I was young, you know, the police, my parents always told me, you know, if anything happens, you go to the police. You tell the police, you find a police officer, you tell them. Now, you know, we're scared of the police. Like, I'm nervous while I'm driving. Like, it's just totally different. And I'm not saying there weren't corrupt police back then, and I'm not saying police didn't do anything, but it seemed like when I was growing up, the majority of them did the right thing and were there to help. I could be wrong, and where I live, that's how
right.
It was.
And you're right. We are scared, and we're especially scared to get pulled over when we have a weapon with a license to carry and a license to conceal. How is it that you give us this privilege, but then we're murdered because we have it? You won't even allow us to get our ID out and show our ID, because now you're saying you was fearful for your life. You didn't know what we was grabbing. So what's the point in giving it and then it's like you're giving it to us so we can be murdered. And Ms. Hall, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to be honest. I believe that there's just this organization, just like they like to talk about the Illuminati. Well, guess what? I believe there is this group, and I believe it's connected to the KKK. This is just my thought. Because, no, it's not air police, but they're in there. They are in there, and they are literally, like, this is, you think you're in shock. A mother whose son was shot 13 times. Who watched that video over and over again. I just don't understand how in the heck our justice system, our political arena, is saying that these people can get away with it. Like, it's too much.
It is. It's just heartbreaking. And today I saw that video of the other young man that was shot that you're talking about, that was reaching for his license and everything. Like, I was in shock. Like, that broke my heart. Like, I couldn't handle it. It's just like there's someone else, and he's killed in front of a child. I don't know if it was his child or her child or whatever that he takes care of. She sat there and watched him die, a 4-year-old. Like, what if the bullet would have went through the seat and killed her? You know,
there's no regard
for life at all.
No, exactly. Not at all. That's what I was getting ready to say. No regard for life at all. Okay, callers, we have about 14 minutes. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to just give your closing remarks, and we're going to start with our caller, Mr. Green. Mr. Green, give us any closing remarks you have.
Sorry, y'all. I had to hop off for a minute. I'll tell you about that later, Ma. My closing remarks is just keep praying, be peaceful, but, you know, it's about action, so do something. Don't just, you know, do something. That's all I got.
Ms. Carr?
Closing thoughts are this has got to stop. And it's going to stop when we, like Gary said and like we've been saying, when we do something besides, you know, put our talks to action. It's got to stop.
Ms. LaTosha?
What was the question?
Just your closing remarks on this subject.
Yes, I just wanted to for people to just not lose sight of what's at hand. I think that the All Lives Matter movements that people are willing to get started is a distraction from what's going on. And I think the black-on-black crime focus is a distraction as well. I need people to stay focused and to not become distracted by all these little minor things that has nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Exactly. Ms. Paul, your closing remarks.
Yes, I agree with everything that was said. We have to make a stand. We have to figure out something where we can get the attention of the people in charge, where they're actually going to do something and start prosecuting and punishing these people that are killing us, our sons and our fathers. It has to end. We have to do something about it as a group, as a unified front. And that's all I have.
Callers, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, you've heard the voices of Black women, Black men, young girls, college students, high school students. Look, you've heard our voices, those who have been affected, and every last one of us have been affected by this. Our son, our brother, our cousin, our friend, we have been affected by this. And you know, the thing about it for us is that we were standing against this prior to. Ernest Zayas Joaquin Barnett, you heard the video. Go on YouTube and watch his conversations, his videos. He stood against this injustice, but he stood for justice. And the very thing he stood for is what took his life. You're trying to make us out to be animals. You're trying to make us out to be unproductive. You're trying to make us out to be uncivilized. You're a liar. We are beautiful human beings created by God just like you were. We're intelligent. We're impactful. We're gifted. We're talented. And we're sick and tired of you trying to kill our heads, our kings. And you know who you are. And those who are offended, I'm talking to you too. Because if you are offended, then I'm talking to you. We're not standing for this anymore. You hear us, and we're going to keep talking, but we're also going to start moving. We're taking a stand. And this is for leaders all over the United States of America, wherever you are. You need to join and you need to help us. This has to change. No, this is going to change. We're not just going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to speak out. We're going to stand and we're going to fight from a place of victory as God leads us to fight. And when he say move, we're going to move. So all of you that are listening, take your eyes off of the distractions as Ms. LaTosha told us. Don't get caught up on this All Lives Matter. All lives are not being murdered by the blue and the black, by those who sworn an oath to serve and to protect. Black lives are the ones that's dying. Black lives are the ones that's being mistreated. don't lose focus. Let's join forces. Let's come together and let's take it to wherever we have to take it. If we have to take it to Washington, if we have to stand in front of the police department, if we have to stop shopping at all of the white establishments, then let's stop. Let's start supporting one another. Let's do like the Asian communities and the Jewish community. They keep it all, not just in the family, they keep it all in the race. They keep it all in the ethnic group. Black people, let's start standing together. Yes, they say we can't get along. The truth is, they don't get along either at their Christmas dinner. They send the kids away for abortions or even have the baby and bring it back to be E.T. and Uncle somebody's baby. So they got foolishness going on. But let's take a stand and come together. We got one last call, and then we're going to bring this thing to a close. It doesn't end here because we're going to be back on tomorrow night and Saturday. Our board chairman and our member, Callie Payton, are going to take you to a place of educating you. Caller, state your name. You have a caller
Jamil,
from Louisiana?
Jamil.
Good evening, Jamil. Thank you for joining us. We have about 5 minutes. Tell us your thoughts about what's going on with our black men being murdered.
Hey, Nanny. I just don't know where to start because I have kids myself. Not only are our black men being murdered, we have women as well, and it's really, really sad. I really just can't believe what's going on in this world today. My heart goes out to all the families, to you, Ms. D, to all the women out there that's been lost, their son, their father, their cousin, to these pigs with these guns. My heart just goes out to everybody, and all we can do is pray.
Thank you so much, Jamil. You say you have children.
You're welcome.
And so that
yes.
means that you're fearful of, you have what, boys, girls? Tell them.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. I have two sons. I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and I have a 1-year-old daughter.
And so, listeners, this young lady have two sons and a daughter. And she already worried about her children. What's going to happen to them? You know, it's really sad. And Jamil, yes, we have to pray, but we also have to fight from a point of difference. We have to figure out how we're going to get these laws changed, because the law about shooting to kill, that got to go. It has to go.
Yes,
it is
ma'am.
No reason to shoot to kill every black person, because you're
yes,
not
ma'am.
Shooting to kill every white person. You're calming them down with the gun and the knife in their hand, and they talking about they going to kill. They telling you, shoot me, and I'm going to do this, and you're calming them down. But kill
yes,
the black
ma'am.
Person. So we are taking a stand. Listeners, callers, thank you all so much. We're going to be back on here tomorrow night at 7:30. Join us in this continued conversation. Tell others about it. Have them to come together, because after we finish this show, then we have to get out here. We have to join forces with others. There, if you're in the city of New Orleans tomorrow at 7 p.m., meet us in Lee Circle. We're going out there, and we're taking a stand. If you're in another city and they're gathering, go out there and take a stand. As you pray, make sure you listen, because let me tell you, when you pray, God is going to tell you what the next move is. And it's not going to be sit at home and just keep watching the news. So get
yes,
rid of
ma'am.
While you're praying, ask God to remove any fear and give you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and give you a courageous spirit and to stand. And when you don't know anything else to do, but stand and fight for a place of victory that lead and guide you. You have been
yes,
listening to A to Z's Positive Male Response Show. We are in a movement here. We're trying to raise up young boys to be leaders of tomorrow. And we have to do that. In order for us to do that, we have to stop the killing. Because our young boys need their fathers. They need their grandfathers. They need their uncles. They need us. And they need our men. And as Jamil stated, even young women are being killed and harmed. We are not standing for it anymore. If you're listening, whoever you are, we are expecting change. We're believing change. We're believing that this thing has to be turned around, and we're going to be a part of the solution and not the problem. Join us tomorrow, same number, same login, 516-595-8311, or log on to http://tobtr.com/s/9081165. Why are you taking our black lives? We matter. Our lives matter. Our men are kings. They are leaders. Our women are queens. We matter, and we're not going anywhere. You are not going to dissolve the black race. God created us to be here. And we're going to stay here, and we're going to rise until he says we have to leave. Black lives matter. Stop killing our men. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your voice. Keep listening and fight from a place of victory. This is yours truly, Miss Worth It. Go to our website, www.a2zaus.com, and check out my book. If you're hurting, you know someone that's hurting from this, purchase The Darkness of the Aftermath, Transformed to Light, www.mzworthit.com. We're out.
Gather round. Which is the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit.